And welcome to Brain Froze. Lovely start. Those who don't know, Nameless Review 7, Think Show 16? Could be wrong on that. Don't trust me. Ever.
Wise advice.
You've got 15 posted.
Hey,
oh, and Pure Decking's not posted. Fuck, I'm going to fix that while we're doing the show.
Technical work while live and recorded.
Would that, like that be a first?
Yeah. And those who don't notice have Murps and Suave here today. Don't have too much to review today. I do have a bird game that I picked up of late.
Zombies. Actually, I have a board game I can review as well.
Alright. We'll do a board game show today.
Well, fudge.
Well, we can go over Ontario too.
Okay.
The game I got is Zombicide. I believe it's being released shortly. Ones from Kickstarter, so they're still getting everything shipped out. Pretty much it's by the name of the title, if you haven't noticed, the zombie survivor game. Pretty much the rules itself are actually quite simple, which is nice. What is the name? It's kind of similar, a simplified version of Everything Zombie, if anybody's played that. With a few basic things, instead of measurement for moving your stuff, everything's kind of broken up into chunks on the map. Pretty much, you don't get a solid bird, you get 9 tiles with this one, that, depending on the scenario, you rearrange them differently, and they're double-sided, so they're... is quite a bit of variance you can have in the map. And pretty much the roads are broken up with crosswalks for the spaces. And of course in the buildings it's each room, so kinda like that effect where it's actually looking at the tile. It doesn't look like an obvious game piece. So it doesn't have the black outlines for each space on the streets or anything like that. Because even the numbers for the streets are actually just written on the road, like pretty much in the same white paint, so it actually looks like it's part of the road. As for the gameplay itself, pretty much you can play up... it's 6 players. And again, the goal varies depending on the scenario. From anything, just pick up the objectives to get to a certain point or so forth on that. Kind of an open-ended type game where you get the game and then after you learn the rules, you can pretty much make the scenarios up yourself. When you start off, my brain's not functioning like usual.
Drink more booze.
I'm out. And I don't think the audience will appreciate me disappearing during my own show to fetch it.
Eh.
It'd make for an interesting show.
let's see here. So, pretty much the survivors you can pick from. You actually, as you play, you level up, and each one can unlock different abilities. The first one is pretty much, they're all unique other than the second one, which all unlocks an extra action for each player. So, and to level them up, there's a tracker along the top that as you kill zombies or pick up objectives, you move that along, so which also affects the game itself, since for the zombies, each turn you spawn more on either when you open the door into an unexplored building.
This game sounds a lot like the zombies game. Just zombies exclamation part game, where you have the miniatures and everybody takes turns and trying to bag so many zombies. It sounds like they've just added like quests and leveling onto that.
It's pretty much close to it, although they are actually unique zombies too.
Those get added with the expansions to the other game. I'm just pointing that out just for ease of explanation.
Yeah. But also, unlike zombies, where the tiles are put down as the game goes, this is all set up to begin with.
Gotcha.
But as for how you spawn the zombies, after everybody goes, there's zombie spawning markers on the board that each one, there's a stack of cards that you put down on each one. I'll put a card down. And depending on the highest level anybody's at, affects what spawns there. So, normally at blue, which is starting, mainly have maybe one fatty may show up, and usually just a couple shamblers at most. But as the levels increase, that can go up to fur fatties, which also each fatty, when they spawn, come with two more shamblers. So like the fur fatties is literally 12 zombies spawning in that one spot. So it can get quite hairy if you level up your characters. Knowing a couple of the games I've played, I think we've had a few of them where there's close to 20 zombies in one spot on the street. So, for the combat wise, pretty much there's a couple weapons you start out with: handgun, fire axe, crowbar. Then anybody left over gets a frying pan. Yeah. Well, you find goodies along the way. Pretty much, you can search for one, in each turn once, in a room in a building that's not occupied with a zombie. So, okay. You can hold up in a place and continue searching, but you can only do it once a turn, per character. So, if you really want to find something good, you will build up zombies trying to hold out. But, let's see. Then, pretty much all weapons will kill a zombie in one shot. It just, some weapons only deal so much damage. And like a fatty, requires a damage 2 weapon or more to kill it. So you may hit it a lot with a submachine gun. But as a submachine gun can't kill a fatty because it's only 1 damage. So you have to make sure you have some heavy damage weapons as you go through. Let's see. And for the combat wise, one of the simple, well, melee is simple. You just move up and keep swinging until you hopefully kill all the zombies. Range actually has it's a slight odd mechanic at first, but kind of seems to have a good purpose of evening it out for the zombies. When you attack something at range, unless you have a sniper skill, it actually goes down in order of what you hit. Starting out with survivors, so you don't really want to shoot into a square that has another survivor in it. Then it's crawlers or walkers, fatties and abominations, then runners. So that takes a little bit of first sight, so you don't accidentally open up into your friends while you're swarmed.
But that's the best part of the zombie apocalypse. How else are you supposed to raid their corpses and get their gear?
Unfortunately, that's one of the odd things. If you don't trade for an item, it some reason just disappears, but one of those things is a bit annoying when you find something good and your inventory's full and you don't want to drop something else. But for the zombies, pretty much you have to stay away from them as much as possible, since if they get in action, well, in the same square as you, they pretty much get a free hit on you. No roll in for it at all, so. And each character can pretty much only take 2 wounds before they die. So, for the main part, you can stay away from them, but yeah, some situations gets pretty tough. Now we had a full party wipe a couple times from just bad events. Because also when you're spawning the zombies, there are also other cards that give zombies extra action, so you may think you're safe, but then the herd of walkers a space away from you suddenly gets 2 actions turn its turn and munches on your brains. So,
this is why you train for the zombie apocalypse by doing runs. Otherwise you get tackled by zombies. And as a man who has been tackled by zombies, I can tell you it fucking hurts.
Yeah, or at least they didn't eat your brains. I hope.
I haven't noticed anything other than it's hard counting past potato now. That was horrible. I'm sorry. That was a bad joke.
Nah.
I'm sorry.
I don't know how well I'm actually playing the game. He's not actually But yeah. Pretty much it's pretty fun basic zombie game that can be tweaked and make your own scenarios as you want. The miniatures that come with it are very nicely done. Well, made plastic. And I don't know for sure about what's going to be in the... There's already expansion planned out. Which is... I think... April or March of next year. At least that's what it sounds like. And judging by the fact that with the Kickstarter, you unlock zombie versions of this extra survivors. I'm guessing there's going to be rules of your survivors turning zombie if they die, which will be quite neat if that added in. Again, I've played it several times with my friends, and pretty much we've all liked it. If you want a good zombie killing game that can be changed up as you, for any other scenario you want, I recommend picking it up. I don't know the actual regular value. I'm thinking it's $80 to $90. I would definitely give this 65. Very good game. Has a few quirks, but seems to work for the game itself. Any of you have questions? I don't know if I didn't explain.
But how long does the game take to play?
It depends on the scenario.
Just
and whether or not you get killed right away. I think average one is about 2 hours or so.
Oh, it's not bad. Yeah. I've seen some of these miniature board games where you start playing them and it's just like, be prepared to devote 4 days.
Yeah, it's not that bad. And it's also not one of the ones where you takes longer to set up than play.
Yeah, it's like you just leave the game set up because it's easier.
Yeah. That nice quick zombie game. Again, can drag on the scenario, but I'm thinking most of the ones we played was around 2 hours and we were playing the long but a decently length one. Do you want to go into the board game you...
Yeah, I can go ahead and talk about the board game we've been playing a couple of weeks now. It's a Cthulhu-based game called Elder Sign. And have you played it?
I haven't played it. I heard about it. I think I've played pretty much all the other Cthulhu games, though. Okay.
Well, this is not... It's not a miniatures game. It is, at its root, a dice game. It comes with 8 custom dice. 6 are green, 1's yellow, 1's red. The 6 green dice are all identical. The yellow dice has nicer stuff on it, and the red dice has a wild card on it. And essentially, the way you set it up is early on, you know, when you're setting up the game, you draw one of the ancient ones, you know, a Cthulhuan god, essentially, that you're trying to beat.
At least and just survive.
No, you're actually trying to win. The premise of it is it takes place in a museum, and you know you pick an adventurer, and there's several in the game, and you're going around this museum, and the goal is to collect enough elder signs to defeat the ancient god that you all are currently going against. You can actually play the game by yourself because it's players versus bad guy. It's not player versus player, which is kind of fun. Certainly different than other games where it's like, you know, screw the other players. You're actually trying to work together in this one.
Which I should probably mention that zombie side is the same thing of players work together versus against each other, unless you really want to kill your friends.
Well, sometimes they can be annoying and talk too much. Anyways, the way you set up Elder Sign is it has several little decks of cards. Most of them are for different classes of items. And you have what it calls adventures, which are tasks, essentially. And you set out 6 of them to start with. And on your turn, you pick a card to move to. You move your little character token to that card to signify that you're there, and it'll have a set of tasks on it. And these tasks are essentially roll something on these dice, because they all have different symbols. They're numbered 1 through 3 with a little magnifying glass, and then they've got a symbol with tentacles on it for terror, a skull, and a scroll, and I don't remember what all exactly they're supposed to stand for. Anyways, so you can affect your dice rolls with different cards, and the concept is you start off with the 6 green dice, and you can spend items to get the other dice into your dice pool, and you're rolling dice trying to match what's on the card. And, you know, sometimes they'll have several things to do on it, sometimes they won't. And the concept is try to collect enough of these Elder Signs to win. If you don't win, you get to fight the Cthulian Beast. And, it's it's supposed to be really difficult, but the 2 times we've played it, the Cthulian Beast has come out, and we beat it. So, maybe we're just that good, or maybe we're not running the game right, because the rules for it are a little complex, because there's lots of little pieces to the game.
Mm-hmm.
The concept itself isn't that bad, but it does kind of get silly quickly. As you're playing the game, whichever Cthulian Beast you picked will have so many Doom counters that go on it. And you put counters on it as you go, whenever a card tells you to, or whenever the clock hits midnight. There's a little in-game clock, and you advance it 3 hours every time somebody takes a turn. And then other things in the game can also advance the clock. Spells do it, monsters do it, bad shit happens, and the clock advances. And I'm really giving it a pretty broad overview, because there's a lot of little bits to the game, and I don't want to overcomplicate it, because it's actually not that complicated of a game. There's several cards on the table. You pick one, and you try to roll dice to match what's on it. If you succeed, you take the dice that matched it, and you set them on that particular, task on the card. They're in rows. And then you move on and try to solve the next ones, and you roll until you're out of dice, essentially. If you don't match anything, it's considered a failure. You set one dice aside out of your pool, and you keep going. If you run out of dice before you can actually finish all the tasks on the card, you lose. And bad stuff happens. Bad stuff can be, there's hit points, there's sanity, so you could lose those. You could have to put a doom counter on the bad guy, making him come out faster. You could have to advance the clock. Or a monster could come out. And monsters are essentially extra tasks that you add to cards, because certain ones will have slots where you can add them. And if there's nowhere out there to put them, you just pick a task and put them at the bottom of it. So... yeah, so it gets a little goofy quickly, but it's actually fairly well done. It's one of those games you kind of have to play it a couple of times to really understand how the rules work. But you could actually run a fairly big game with it, or you could play with yourself if you really wanted to. jokes aside, there it's interesting. I paid $35 for it. I'd say it's probably worth about that. It's all cardboard tiles and counters for everything, but they're high quality. They're not the real thin little cardboard pieces that like break and you lose. They're actually good thick heavy cardboard. It's a good printing job. So it's higher quality game pieces, but it's on the lower end. Like there's no pewter miniatures, there's no board. It's essentially a dice game. So
yeah.
But it's fun. We usually, when we've been playing it, we've been playing it with about four or five players, and we usually manage to finish it up in about an hour. So,
not bad.
Yeah, no, it's a fun little pastime, and the only bitch of it is because there are so many little stacks of cards and counters and all these different little things you can put in the game to affect it. Sorting all of it out to start with takes a little bit.
Yeah, that's a problem with a lot of games.
Yeah, I need to go get a collection of I guess they would be like little baggies for coin collectors.
Yeah. Just
keep all that's permanently sorted, but
I can't remember what it. No, you can get the little baggies craft shops that work great for the little cards.
Yeah, stuff like that. I need to pick up something like that.
Alright. You still there, Swab?
Yep.
Or did you fall asleep?
No, I'm here. I just don't have a lot to add to the board gaming conversations, just because I never really play board games.
Swab wants to minimize his interaction with other, you know, people.
As much as possible.
It's safer that way.
Yeah. But, so even though I didn't get to play any board games or anything this week, I did get to check out a couple of things, actually. There's one game and one game engine. The game engine that I was looking at is the Outera, I believe it's called. Let me double check that. Yeah, Outerra game engine. It's basically an engine that's simulating the entire planet Earth. It's still in development. You know, they've got a demo version. You can, you know, it's basically a tech demo you can download to kind of see where they're at. And currently, they have the entire planet Earth. It's down to accuracy of a couple of meters. And I went and like checked out all of the like places that I grew up at and everything like that, and everything was pretty darn accurate. So that's pretty cool. One thing it's missing is doesn't have all the lakes and rivers in yet, and there's currently only, well, I guess two biomes, snow and boreal forest. They haven't actually added any of the other biomes yet, so you go to the Sahara Desert and it's boreal forest. aside from, you know, a couple of drawbacks, it's incredibly powerful. Like, when you think about it, like, you know, you start out, you load it up and everything like that, and you're, you know, somewhere in the base of the Alps at some airstrip. You know, if you want, you can like load up a vehicle, hop in a vehicle, go drive around, or you can just zoom yourself out like into space, orbit around the planet, go zoom in to anywhere you on the planet you want, and it's all seamless, just loads right up. And yeah, like I said, it's amazingly accurate. I was really impressed by how it recreated a lot of areas. There's a number of games developers that are looking at using this engine to make some really interesting MMOs. One of them is called Anti-World. I believe that's what they're called. And here, actually, I'm going to verify that.
Anti-World.
And that's basically going to be like the ultimate crafting game, because this engine's going to allow for modifiable terrain and stuff like that. So you can actually go terraforming and everything, dig out a hillside, build yourself a building. This Anti-World, it's basically going to have like this technology system where players in the world are actually going to be able to discover recipes. This isn't going to be the type of thing where you've got like this set of recipes in a wiki somewhere and you can just like follow them, but basically it's going to be more intuitive where, okay, well, you want to make an axe, well, sure, obviously it's going to be a rock and a stick, but if you want to make a gun, well, you're going to have to go find, you know, like certain chemicals, you know, make your gunpowder, go get iron, actually make the bore on a lathe. Like, it actually is going to get into a lot of detail on this, so it's really going to take a lot of like, you're pretty much going to have to be part of a settlement or something like that to actually get up to any decent level of tech, which is going to be kind of interesting. It's the entire planet Earth, which is going to be, I don't know how they're actually going to manage it. Like, I'm guessing it's going to be something like, you know, everybody spawns in one country or something like that, and you can spread out if you want. But, like, you're going to need some way to keep people interacting with each other. Because let's say you have a game that has 20,000 people. Well, that sounds like a decent amount, but when it's spread out over the entire surface of the planet, you'll never see each other, ever. So, like, there's got to be something, you know, maybe, like, easy to access methods of travel. And, like, I don't know, something. They'll figure it out, I'm sure. It's just, no game is like this has ever really existed before, so they're going to be running into issues that have never really shown up. But, yeah, that's
a pretty big thing, depending on...
I was just going to say, the Outera tech demo is only about 250 megs, which is surprisingly small, considering the amount of data that's included. But I guess that, like, the guy who's programming it, he's doing everything procedurally, so it seems to be quite efficient with this sort of stuff. Like, he's doing, you know, procedural grass, and he's developing procedural trees and all this other sort of stuff. Right now they're just sprites. That's actually going to change. Yeah, but I highly recommend that you just like pick it up and like go check out your childhood haunts and stuff like that. It's pretty interesting.
Yeah, for some reason, looking at this, thinking a giant game of Civilization.
Yes. That's the thing, hey. Like, it's a full engine.
Yeah.
Really, like, you're probably gonna see a ton of different games show up from this. Awesome. And anybody have anything else they want to ask or add before I jump to the other game?
Not really. I'm just currently looking at screenshots, and yeah, definitely beautiful right now, despite only having two biomes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Now, the other... Oh, go ahead.
Just thought of something. Wonder if there's actually anything set up for actually having orbiter stuff.
Good question.
It's early enough in the development. I'm kind of waiting to see how much farther he gets with it before I really start to get excited or not excited.
Well, he's come so far in the last couple of months. Because when I first stumbled across this, it was probably about 2 months ago. And there was a tech demo out, but it didn't really work. You know, it wouldn't like load into anybody's system because there's video card issues. And like I couldn't get it to work. And on top of that, he only had like a small area rendered out. Like it was, you know, square miles, just kind of like give an example, and it really didn't have anything going. You know, there wasn't water or anything like that. He's got the water, and the water is beautiful. I've seen some videos for the grass and all that sort of stuff, so that's all coming in. He is making some very steady progress. So
does he plan on open sourcing it?
I sure hope so. I'm not entirely sure. I feel like he is, but I don't know 100%. That's probably something that you'd have to find out on the forum. But open about everything that he's doing. And I feel like for it to become a successful engine, he's going to have to
release it.
Yeah. And
well, he's going to have to release enough of an API that you can work with it, certainly. Because mm-hmm. I'm thinking of not just games like Civilization, but think more of something like you'd put a lot of little bots, essentially, mm-hmm. on it. And run things like Pandemic.
Nice. Oh, that's, you know,
I'm thinking
idea.
Simulation-style games. I mean, obviously, mm-hmm. Minecraft clones. But, oh, yeah. You know, the possibilities are great for engines like this, but you have to see what they end up hooking into it, because mm-hmm. if it's a Minecraft style engine, and it's, you know, it's like they could lock it down to the point where it's sort of like the UT engine. You can do a lot with the UT engine, but at the end of the day, it's going to be a first person game.
Yeah,
I mean, for the most part, and people have done, you know, third person games with UT, but I've not seen anybody do a top-down real-time strategy game with UT.
Right.
And it's just because the engine's not geared towards that. So like I said, I'm just interested to see... right now it's impressive and it looks nice, but I want to see where it is, you know, in a few more months' development when you start seeing game elements showing up.
Right. Fair enough. My hopes for it are much higher now than they once were. Just looking at how far he's come in the last little while. Yeah, it's still definitely something just to kind of keep an eye on and don't hold your breath.
Yeah.
Well, that's the only reason I ask if he open sources it, because if he, you know, if something happens, he can't develop it anymore, but he was doing it as a, you know, private project and he doesn't want to release it, then, you know, all of it's just going to go away.
Yeah.
So, you know, open source is nice for things like that. And, you know, I've really been hoping Notch at some point would open source Minecraft, just because the modding community alone, you'd see, imagine what would happen with that game.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Well, looking at the post here that Swap put in earlier, it looks like the anti-world is the person that is making the engine.
I'm not entirely sure. There's a couple of different ones. I think they just are posting it on their forums. They're not really doing a lot of development for it yet because they're waiting for the engine to be finished, a good API. So they're really just kind of throwing ideas around right now.
And, you know, even if it's not open source, if it's got a good API and it's thrown out there, that's good enough. I'm just...
Oh, yeah.
Like, I just kind of hate to see it halfway done and then disappear.
Yeah, absolutely. I feel like it's gotten to the point where it's definitely not going to disappear. It might not be as awesome as it could be, but it's probably going to be around for a while, just from what I've seen already, even if he just released it as is.
Well, if he open sourced it as is, you would start seeing stuff showing up for a few months. I mean, that's not...
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
I think he's got enough of an engine there.
If it gets to the point where it's not going anywhere, I'm sure he'll open source it, because, you know, why not? Just considering how open he's been with everything so far, like, really, I don't see why he wouldn't.
Well, I mean, you never know. I mean, I've got some projects that I've had a few people ask me to open up the source code for. These aren't related, but they're stuff I wrote for work.
Oh, okay.
And the code is pretty sloppy, so I'm sitting there going, no. Like, sure it works and it does what it's supposed to do. I would kind of be embarrassed to publish some of that code, so.
Right.
Like, we'll clean up your code. It's like, yeah, I don't have a few months to sit down and do that, actually.
Fair enough. But, yeah, the other game I checked out, this is another game that I've actually been following for the last couple months. It's called Miner Wars. Miner as in, you know, digging minerals, not 8-year-old girls. But,
that would be an odd game.
It's kind of I guess you could call it a Descent clone. You know, everybody's played Descent, that kind of full dimension, you know, space shooter, pretty much, you know, flying around.
Get lost because you like turned that 90 degrees and forgot to figure that out.
But this one, it's a lot more about the environment as well. Like, everything's all destructible, so you can like go dig tunnels and stuff like that. There's mining involved and all kinds of other stuff like that. So it's the environment itself is a lot more malleable. It's got great graphics. Seems like it's got a pretty decent storyline so far. I picked up the demo for it. They've got the demo available for free, and it's quite like it's an independent game, but it's got the quality of just like a first rate game. So I'm pretty excited about this one. I gotta say though, I did get it kind of frustrated with the demo, just because, you know, it's been so long since I've played a game like this that I wasn't really paying attention. And, you know, like on a regular first person shooter, you know, your health kits and stuff like that, they're all just on the ground. You see them as you walk by. Well, with this game, your health kits could be on the ceiling or on one of the walls, behind a pillar or something like that. So you really got to pay a lot more attention to where you're going. And I actually ended up running out of health and ammo and just kind of like making a mad dash to the end of the level at the end because I couldn't refill anything and I'm just being chased by all these guys. I ended up dying. And of course, in the demo version, you can't save. So I would have had to start all over again, and I just, you know, rage quit and haven't picked it up again. But, you know, if you have the full version game, you just save often and you're fine. So I don't think that's so much of an issue. It's just more of an issue with the demo. But really, like, what is really different about this game versus any other sort of, you know, space simulator or anything like that, it's the environment. And if you actually go look at some of their videos where they've got like these big, massive, wide open, like asteroid fields, essentially, like very vast areas. And, you know, basically playing hide and seek while you're being hunted by another unit or something like that, or you're hunting another unit. Like, you know, you go up to an asteroid, you know, dig yourself a little hole, hide in this hole, wait for them to come by, you pop out and like go fire off your missiles before, you know, you get the idea. There's a lot of potential for something like this. I recommend that you check it out.
Yeah, definitely sounds interesting. And that's still in development, too.
You know, I think, well, they say it's an alpha, but it's, like, it's got a story in it and everything like that. It's a hell of a lot more complete than Minecraft was when it was an alpha, I'll give you that.
Games of alpha, just to jump off to other game here, what was that Minecraft clone we played that was actually a shooter?
Ace of Spades.
Did anything ever happen with that game? I mean, it's been a while since we touched it.
I actually played it just the other day, and they're still developing it. It's still free. It's mass, like, it's no longer just one map. So it's basically like people have imported Minecraft maps. There's all kinds of different maps that are in there now. And there's more than one weapon now. You've got your rifle, you've got a machine gun, and you've got a shotgun. You still have your grenades and your shovel and everything like that. They've made it so it's a little bit more difficult to break blocks with your weapons. You really have to use shovels now. So now you don't have snipers destroying your base from a distance. It's still... Like, I think he's sticking with the artistic style of it, where it's just, like, very basic colors.
That kind of made it hard to navigate.
Yeah.
You know, it still kind of has that difficult navigation, but I find it's quite a bit more fun than it was initially, just even with the different weapons and different maps now. There's a lot of fun maps and everything like that on there. It's still not the sort of game that I could see you sitting down and playing for a long time, but just pick it up and play for half an hour every now and then. I'll still probably keep doing that.
Well, I just remembered that game the other day, and I was just like, couldn't remember what it was called, so I couldn't check up and see if anything happened with it.
Well, if you haven't uninstalled it, it's still probably on your system. That's actually another thing that...
I don't know how many times I've formatted my machines between then and now.
Fair enough. But it's like 2 meg download or something like that. But if you do want to play, finding server is so much easier now. I don't know if you guys remember, but back when you first got it would take like, you know, half hour to find a server that we could all get into. Now you actually go to their website, click play, they give you a list of servers, you click on the server, it launches the game and you're in.
Nice. That's,
yeah. It a lot easier.
Yeah. That one definitely did have some potential, but yeah, that.
There's actually another one that looks like it even has more potential in regards to like the Minecraft like first person shooter, and that would be Brick Force. I don't know if you guys have heard of that one.
I think I've seen videos on that. Where it actually has different blocks. Like, I think you can put down fire and all that.
It's more of a first-person shooter first with crafting abilities. Basically, like, from what I understand, you've got the round starts and there's, like, let's say 5-10 minutes where people can build. And then when that time is up, it turns into like a death match or a capture the flag match or something like that. So it kind of forces you to, you know, do your building and then it forces you to do your FPS. There's no, you don't mix, which I kind of like that. I like the idea. Plus, you know, like all the maps are like, you're not starting on a flat plane. It's already like built up areas. You just, you know, build defenses and stuff like that. The one thing though is, it looks like they're getting a little heavy-handed on the making you buy stuff. Like, I just loaded up their website, and they're like, oh, it's free to play, and now you can buy tokens to unlock these weapons, and, you know, here's, you can get a premium account and buy this, give us money, give us money, give us money. So, like, I don't like it when they're really heavy-handed with that sort of stuff. But it is free to play, and it is out, so... No, it's probably worth checking out.
A lot of those free-to-play games feel like they have to be that heavy-handed with the stuff because they're not making any money at all.
Well, that is true. Yeah.
I mean, I don't fault them too much for that. I hate it when they're so in your face with it. It's like, you know, it's free-to-play, but bullshit. That kind of stuff yeah. kind of gets on my nerves. Yeah. But if it's free to play, and it's just, you know, it's like, you know, you would have a much easier time if, you know, every once in a while, I wouldn't mind that so much.
Yeah. As long as it doesn't become the free to play, pay to win.
Right.
Method.
But, yeah, this one definitely looks like probably one of the most developed these types of games out there. It looks like they really did a lot of work into it and really kind of got it polished. I even think they have helicopters and stuff like that you can fly around in.
Nice. Are they block helicopters?
Yes. Yes, they are.
I would question the aerodynamics of that.
You'd question the aerodynamics in a world made out of blocks.
Quiet, you.
But yeah, they've got like gun emplacements and all kinds of stuff like that. It's... And like, there's medics and assault and different classes. You got the sniper and stuff. So it's really is a it's a FPS that happens to take place in a block world.
Quick question though.
Mm-hmm.
I know you said all the building is done beforehand. Can you still break stuff or?
Yep. Oh yeah. Like explosions after... and stuff will destroy blocks, and if you shoot a block a bunch of times, it'll get destroyed.
Right.
I can't remember if gravity impacts the blocks or not, but yeah, can't remember.
I could think of a few scenarios where a team sealing up the flag could probably break the game if you couldn't.
Mm. Also, like one thing that I like about it, like yeah, they have the build mode previous to the game. You can actually kind of just go into map making mode and like go build a map. Release that to the community. And I feel like that's going to be a pretty big draw for this game.
At least increase the number of apps you can play on.
Mm-hmm. Quite quickly too, because really like, you know, using like a Minecraft building method, it's not going to take long for people to build maps. Like, you know, games like Team Fortress 2 and stuff like that, like, it's quite difficult to make a good map. You even need to know some coding and stuff like that to, you know, set up some events and everything. So, but, you know, with something like this, it's really just point and click.
Huh. Might have to check that out. Maybe play some of that later. Quick thing, I actually just stumbled across this weekend. You guys remember the Gamers Darkness Rising movie we watched during the meetup?
Yep.
Yeah, the group is actually making another Gamers movie, The Hands of Fate. Which I haven't actually started filming yet. They're currently on Kickstarter too. Raise money, but anybody that was a fan of the other one, it sounds like probably middle of next year, hopefully.
Pretty excited about that one. At least
I'm looking forward to that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They make good movies.
Yeah.
Did you happen to see what their funding's at?
Let's see here, 234 out of about 234,000 out of 320,000 with, I think they have 2 weeks left.
Oh, they'll be fine.
So, yeah. They should be able to make that.
Mm-hmm.
And knowing them, they'll probably still try to find a way to make it.
Oh, yeah.
But yeah, one of the neat things is going through the thing of it. They're actually working with game companies to for the in-world mechanics.
That's cool. Like,
they talk to Paizo on and working with them to get the Pathfinder mechanics in for the role-playing aspect. And they also were saying there's a kind of side plot with involving a card game that they are actually working with a card game company to generate, they'll make the clout and all that for the cards in the movie, so they're actually doing quite a bit of work on this one, so looks like it'll be a lot higher quality than the last one. And I'm looking forward to it. I think that's pretty much all I have left. Guessing you guys are all out too.
Yep.
Yep.
Oh, 50 minutes. Close enough.
Yeah.
Oh.
No, 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 nothing.
Alright. At least I'm doing it on a... Made it 2 weeks in a row, so... I'll try for a third next Monday. If not, I'm sure herds of people will attack me.
If you're wanting to Caprod BSC and
everybody next
encourage
week.
Him to do a show, you'll find him hiding under his couch.
I don't hide under the couch. That's where the dead bodies are, remember?
That was
you'll
your
find him hiding under the bed.
You'll find him hiding under the dead bodies.
Oh, the zombies will never think to look there.
Wait, aren't zombies dead?
Oh,
one of us.
Right.
One of us.
See everybody next week.